I don't know. If you told me this was happening some time ago, I wouldn't have believed you, but here it is. Saul Anuzis, former chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, Mark Brewer, former chairman of the Michigan Democrat Party, working together on a campaign. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to have you together. And Mark, nice to have you here. I like the hair. I saw you on television.
Thanks, Paul. Gabby, great to be with you.
I wish I had that much hair. Anyway, you're launching a campaign here in the great state of Michigan to pick the president by popular vote. So, educate me. Educate all of us. What we've always heard is if we elect the president by the popular vote, from this point on, New York and California will pick the president, period. It'll be New York and California deciding from now on who the president of the United States will be. Tell me how wrong that is.
Well, it's just statistically completely wrong. The fact is that if you take a look at everybody in California and New York and added them all up, they make up less than 18% of the national population, which basically means 82% of the American people live somewhere else. So first of all, even if they voted 100% Republican or 100% Democrat, they would not decide who the president of the United States is.
What other states have as much power statistically with this process, popular vote, than New York and California? Who else has that kind of power?
Literally almost every state. The truth is it has nothing to do with the size of the state. It has to do with what kind of margin of victory you're going to get out of different states. So you could take a look, as an example, at Republican states such as Utah or Oklahoma, which have margins of victories that are probably half the size of the Democratic victories in California and Utah. You could take a look at Democratic states that have large margins of victories that are much smaller than New York and California, that have half the size of the margin of victories that come out of Republican large states like Texas. The issue is we want to make sure that every voter in every state is politically relevant every time. And what that will mean is that voters in Michigan, whether they're Republican or Democrat, and whether we win or lose in a specific election, each of their votes will count the same way we elect over 514,000 other elected officials in this country.
Mark, is today the day that you submit this idea, this petition, to the Board of Canvassers?
Well, yes, and actually on my way to Lansing now, Paul W., to meet with Saul, and we will file a petition language with the state, and then within the next month, the Board of Canvassers will meet and approve that language, and then we can start circulating our petitions.
And Saul, you may have just mentioned this, but you want Michigan to join 15 other states that are already suggesting that a national popular vote for president is the way to go. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, look, I got involved in this back in 2008 when I was chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, and John McCain was running, and Michigan was a battleground state. And then on October 19th, we weren't. They went in and did a poll that said they were 12 points down, and they pulled out of the state of Michigan, and it had devastating effects down ticket. Because as voters on the Republican side realize that you know, the presidential campaigns no longer cared about our race, the turnout dropped significantly. And if you remember back then, we lost two Republican congressmen, 9 state legislators, and it had a devastating effect down ticket because people realized their votes didn't count. Today, 4 out of 5 Americans live in a state that is either decidedly Republican or decidedly Democrat. And what that means is that during the general election, neither Republican or Democratic candidates campaign in their states, talk to the people of those states, or care about the issues of those states. So for all practical purposes, what happens is we elect the president of the battleground states of America versus the president of the United States of America. And that distorts both politics and public policy in a way that I don't think is healthy for our democracy.
Have you both always felt this way? Saul, have you always felt this way?
No, I haven't. As I said, I first heard about this reform in 2008 when I came out and complained about, you know, Hillary, you know, what was happening in the McCain campaign. And my first reaction when I heard about it was, you know, this sounds like the communist plot to gut the Constitution and make Al Gore president. And then, as Paul Harvey used to famously say, I kind of looked into it and read about it and met with people about it and decided this was a reform that was literally quintessentially fair. It let both sides have the equal chance to make their case to the American people and let the best person win. And that's exactly how we elect virtually everybody else in the country except the one candidate that represents the country as a whole. So I'm not afraid of this. As a Republican, I think...
Okay.
Go ahead, Paul W., sorry.
And Mark?
Yeah, no, I've always found this very attractive. Well, I mean, look, in the end, this is about two things. One person, one vote, every voter everywhere in the country treated equally, and majority rules. The person who gets the majority of the presidential vote should be president, like Saul said, like we do in every other election. That principle should apply to the presidency, and that's what this proposal would do.
Well, no one's going to argue that every vote should count, and probably no one's going to argue that a lot of people feel their vote doesn't matter. So I don't know if this is going to fix that or change it. Mark, what have you been up to since you were chairman of the Michigan Democrat Party? What are you doing now?
Oh, practicing law and keeping quite busy.
You guys, did you just get off his show? I knew him when he didn't use the middle name Patrick. That was a long time ago.
I'm just on my twin brother, Saul Anousa's there. Practicing law, representing groups involved in redistricting, for example, and litigation over voting rights, and now working on a project with Saul like this. You know, I've long admired Saul's political skill, and it's great that we finally are able to work together on something.
Yeah, I wish we had more time. We're out of time here. But Jim and Harry, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.